Accession number 22634, Reel 1.
Ava Klein, Reel 1.
And it is Reel 1. And if I could ask you, first of all, Ava, to tell me something about your family background. Whereabouts were you born and where did you spend your early childhood?
I was born in Debrecen, which is a nice city in Hungary. It was the second largest after Budapest.
Yes, what was the name of it again?
Debrecen. Debrecen. When I was born into a ready-made family, my eldest brother was 21. Bela, B-E-L-A. Miklós was 20, and the youngest of the three was 16 and a half, and I came along. My mother
had... Yes, you all had the same mother, did you?
Yes.
Yes, it was like a second family.
Yes, a latecomer. Yes, my mother used to say when she went to the doctor, he said to her, "Never mind, Mrs. Adler, you got three sons, you will have a daughter now." And he was right. And my mother used to be a dressmaker. She had a grocery store, and she did both. My father was a bookkeeper in a wholesale food company. And when they started this business, I think my father left the job and he carried on working in the shop. I didn't know him at all. He died when I was 15 months old. But my mother kept the family. She was working day and night. And I grew up in a lovely family. My eldest brother already finished his studies in the gymnasium by the time I was born, and he started university, but because of the numerus clausus, he couldn't get into Hungary. He went to Brno to study architecture. And he became an architect. And he was working in Debrecen as well as in Budapest. Then later in Transylvania in Kolozsvár. When, of course, it was already late 30s when he was sent to concentration camps and never came back from Mauthausen, Gunskirchen. Miklós, my second brother, the artist, who was also finished his studies in the gymnasium, then he studied in Budapest University as an art teacher. And when he finished, he was employed in the same gymnasium as an art teacher. He was well loved, well educated, cultured, hard working, and he did a lot for the gymnasium. He painted a lot and he did woodcuts, which was before the war. He did Esther, the biblical Esther, a Bialik, the Talmudist, and many more. And after the war, as a memory to his brothers, he had the woodcuts in 16 pages. As he says in the four words, that he wanted to do something in the memory of his brothers, relatives, excuse me, and all those who perished. He wasn't a writer, but he wanted to express his feelings, which he did. In his woodcuts, first we had to wear the yellow star. But actually before it started, like in Germany, the Kristallnacht, they did exactly the same in Hungary. They broke windows. They beat up Jewish people on the streets. They tried to rob their houses, as they did in our house as well. We had them in two occasions. The second time they came, they had a little gun into my head and they wanted money and jewelry. I was sleeping in the other room while my mother had to deal two more. They took whatever they could find still left in the house. As I said, my mother still had the shop, and gradually they were denied food to sell in the shop. Gradually they had to close down. And came the ghetto, and the brick factory, and the deportation, gradually.
And this is what your brother was depicting, because you're telling me about the woodcuts, aren't you, while looking at the book?
Yes, just before it started with the yellow star, it started the whole thing. The Hungarians knew how to do it. They could teach the Germans as well. They were very good at it. We were sent to ghettos. We could hardly take anything with us. But luckily where we lived, my mother and myself, our house was part of the small ghetto. And we could live in our house, and people were coming to join us in our house. But it didn't last long, because we had to leave the house as well to move into the big ghetto, because Hungary had quite a number of Jews. They couldn't put them into one place.
And this was still in your town where you were brought
yes.
in? Yes. Mm-hmm. And is this what your brother was depicting in the woodcuts? Was that what
yes,
he was showing?
Yes, the ghetto. He shows the ghetto while we were in the ghetto. Then we were taken to the brick factory, which was an open space. Only some kind of roof, like a tent. We had to lie down when the SS came with a whip and the dog, but it doesn't show the dog.
Is this still in the ghetto?
No, it was in the brick factory.
In
from
Hungary?
The ghetto in Hungary, from the ghetto, we had to go to the brick factory and be there until we were deported to different places.
And that, of course, is another woodcut, isn't it?
Yeah, the number four is still in the brick factory, where it shows the latrine. Just one for so many people. And in this latrine, you can find jewelry, because people still managed to smuggle some with them, but they were afraid to carry on any longer, and they had to drop it into the latrines. It doesn't show in the pictures, but I know it by...
That picture shows an awful lot of people queuing
yeah,
up.
Yeah, queuing up.
Are they waiting to go onto the latrine?
Yes.
That must have been very humiliating for you, wasn't it?
It was. When the deportation started, we were put in cattle cars, 70, 80 people in one. One bucket for that many people, it didn't matter who saw you, who didn't. But if you have to go, you have to go, and you had to do it. You could hardly stand, because it was no room. People were standing on the top of each other. When we arrived...
This is number six, isn't
this
it?
This is number six. Some dead, some alive. Yeah, they just threw out the dead ones, and they didn't know where to go.
Where did you arrive? Where was that arrival?
We arrived in Austria.
And that's what the picture shows, is it?
No, the picture doesn't say the destination. It just shows that the wagon arrived, and that's it. Picture number seven is already the selection, which we did not have experience of. But that's what... the way they did in Auschwitz, to select who was able to work, and the children and older people to the gas chamber.
So I suppose your artist brother, Milos, he was doing that in
Miklos.
Memory of your...
explanations and
of
stories.
Yeah. Yes.
And of course, after the bombing, we had to clear the rubbles, which we did ourselves as well.
Is that
and
not
the picture shows the Jews with the yellow star clearing the rubbles.
And that's what you actually did yourself?
We actually did it. Number 9 is showing the forest, clearing the forest, which we did not, but my husband did. He was one of the forest guy in his labor camp. And 10 shows how they carried the logs. Eleven is we dug trenches in unending circles. We were part of this work as well. And my eldest brother, who was in labor camp since 1942, maybe that's what he did. Number 12 shows what we had to do in order to get some food to stay in the queue for a little soup. This was the reward for our labor. Number 13 shows Auschwitz, the roll call, the Zählappel, which luckily we did not experience. Number 14 is our experience again. When we had to leave, the lager was vacated one night. In the middle of the night, we had to get up, leave the lager where we were, and then we started walking in the middle of the night aimlessly because we didn't know where to go. The Russians already were nearer to our camp. And of course, the Germans didn't want us to be there when the Russians arrive. Number 15 shows dead people around with one SS with his gun. And 16, home, question mark. It was after the liberation. It shows the head of the people who were gassed. People are thinking where to go now, what to do, how to start a new life. These are the 16 woodcuts illustrating what we all been through.
Well, thank you very much indeed, Eva, for reading through that and explaining the scenes therein. It's a very lovely book. It certainly illustrates the experience, doesn't it?
Yeah. It says more than words sometimes. Yes. You know, when you can visualize.
Yes, you know, it must be difficult sometimes to describe experiences.
It's nearly impossible. When we were in the brick factory, you know, some of my friends were still there. Lot and lot of people from the neighboring villages were taken to Debrecen as well. And one of my friend came, have you seen Auntie Ilona? She was our school teacher. She committed suicide because she couldn't, She couldn't bear it any longer. She had enough of this. And we went to see her. She was dying, and that was the end of her. She was such a lovely lady. So we were in this brick factory.
Yes, if I could sort of go back a bit, yeah. Because obviously you've gone forward in time,
yes.
Very kindly, in order to explain the photograph.
Book. Yeah, it
you
was.
You didn't tell me about your younger brother.
My younger brother, Miklos, was married. He married in 1936 to Shoshana Farkas, Zuzana Farkas. And my younger brother married in 1939-40.
What was his name?
Zoltan.
Z-O-L-T-A-N.
Yeah, like Kodai. And they lived in Hungary, in Debrecen, the same place. My nephew was born in 1941. On the 4th of April, lovely little boy who lives in New York now. Luckily, we were all deported together. But going back to after the marriage, of course, the situation in Hungary was very, very bad. My brother was taken away as well. And he was in concentration camps, one after the other, and he ended up in the Russian front.
That was Zoltan?
That was Zoltan, yeah.
So he was sent as a soldier, was he, to the
no,
Russian
No, no, as a Jewish labourer to hard labour camp.
Well, thank
what
you.
The Jews
yes.
were taken.
Oh, yes, I understand. Yes, no, going back, you know, to the sort of chronology of things, you were saying how in 1938 you experienced the same Kristallnacht event.
Yeah.
Was that the first experience you'd had of sort of violent anti-Semitism?
It was always a little bit everywhere. They haven't started in 1938, but then they can do it in the open.
But it
more
was there
than,
earlier, was it?
Yes, earlier as well.
And who was, was there a particular group who were doing these things, or was it the population generally in your area, apart from the Jewish people?
I don't really know. I don't really know. The only thing I knew from the breakage, what we experienced two nights, somebody said this, a widow lady, she had a shop, she's got probably plenty to take, and let's go and see what we can grab.
Was there a fascist group existing at that time?
You see, you didn't know. I was only 14. I was just trembling sometimes because, as I said, my mother had the shop. She was in the shop all the time, and people were coming in. Politics. I said to my mom, you will end up in a jail at the end because you shouldn't talk like this in the, or you never know who will hear. But even your best friends were not very reliable sometimes. You know, into your eyes maybe they were kind, but behind your back they were just, let's see the back of them. I'll never see them again. That's how you felt. And
when the war started, you know, the invasion of Poland in 1939, did that make a big impact on Hungary?
It did, yeah. People were starting coming through Hungary and going anywhere, just not in the Nazi blocks, you know, as we were. They tried to escape from Poland, Czechoslovakia, Hungary, and they tried to find their way through Hungary. Many times, I knew people were hiding in our place because I was not allowed to go into this room and that room, and you don't see, you don't hear. Because I was a child, probably they were afraid that I might talk or see something I shouldn't. My mother was an exceptional woman. She helped everybody. As far as I remember, every day we had somebody to have lunch or dinner there. They always cooked more when one comes and needs some food. And she wasn't rich, were not wealthy people. She worked for everything and every penny, and she worked very, very hard to see her children go through schooling, university, and have a decent life.
How about your own education? You know, you were about 14 at this time, but what sort of education had you had?
My last complete year at school was in 1943. In 1944, they already started. I wanted to have a year off myself and go to the gymnasium because I was in secondary, whatever you call it, and I had to learn Latin and physics, I don't know, to extra tests to go into school in September, but it didn't materialize.
Had you experienced any problems until, you know, you left in 43?
Yes. Our school had to move from one place to another many times.
Was it a Jewish school?
Yes, it was a Jewish school. It was near a beautiful synagogue, which was demolished soon after the war. But our school was away from the gymnasium. The gymnasium housed the elementary school as well. We had to vacate our school and give room to the soldiers.
Would these be the German soldiers or would they
Hungarian.
Be the Hungarian?
But the Germans were there as well, so probably.
Yes. Were they there before 1944, the Germans? Did you see Germans in
I think
your
so.
Side? Yes.
I think so, but the Hungarians, it didn't really matter what language they spoke. They had the same feelings. This was the main thing. Anyway, we moved to the other building, which was nearer where we lived. This was the only advantage. And
were you wearing the yellow star all
yes,
this time?
Yes.
What did that, you know, what did you feel about that? What did it mean to
you? You had to do. You just go along as you, you know, that's, you didn't like it. But it wasn't that you get your gun and shoot them. Didn't matter whether 100 or 1,000 people with one 16-year-old with a whip. You just obeyed.